There's no place like home for the
goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting, whispers creep through the trees, yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze, yeah, yeah. Spirits roam the night, terrors delight, Halloween spectacular fear ignites. With every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the autumn light.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I am Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, yeah, it sounds just like you. Normal, middle of America guy, Jeff Searcy.
Indeed, DJ. I am happy to be on show.
Yep, we're glad to have you back here. Jeff, we're right in the middle of the 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular. A yearly tradition, as you know.
The 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
That exact one. And I know we're filming. Jeez, I know we're recording this episode in Romania because of the how cheap it is to record podcasts here.
Indeed.
And so, you know, we're just doing our thing.
All right, time for Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's dive in. Let's carve the pumpkin for Pumpkinhead 3, Ashes to Ashes. I was always more of a Pumpkinhead Life on Mars guy. There's a joke for all the Anglophile BBC fans out there. There was a show called Life on Mars, and then there was a sequel show called the spin-off show called Ashes to Ashes. That's the joke.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that,
Jay. Also, Life on Mars got an American adaptation, but they took it in like a completely different direction. Anyway, first aired on the Sci-Fi Channel October 28th, 2006. Hey. Ooh. Right. Hey, great.
I was going to say, right in the zone.
Right in the zone. Jeff, I know we normally do this at the end. Did you watch this live or like around the time of release?
I watched it when I was in middle school, so it's probably either the year it came out or the year after. I'm sure they rebroadcast it.
I'm sure they did.
Times they spent money on it,
especially because I think the next movie was also direct to sci-fi.
Yes,
and probably I think aired the next year. I probably caught some of it. Is I think my thought process. It would have aired around the time that ECW aired on the Sci-Fi Channel. Mm-hmm. And so I had probably seen some of it. And that was, I believe, the year that Ghost Hunters was live at the Stanley Hotel for like 12 hours straight.
Oh, okay.
And I believe CM Punk, the pro wrestler, was their special guest that night. And then I think like a later, I don't remember who was the next year, but that was like a reoccurring thing they did for a couple years.
I just watched their, because October, obviously, from the 1st to the 31st, they did horror movie marathons constantly. I would usually tune in the second or third week would always be all the Godzilla movies. And so that's usually what I would tune in for. But yeah, I caught a bunch of different horror movies I'd never seen before on this during their Halloween events. And then that, like, I think in 2010, like I think I was a junior in high school, they stopped doing it.
Weird. It's so weird. I was always more of a AMC guy at Halloween season. I would watch like the Halloween marathon. Anyway, let's continue on with in our normal direction.
Back to Pumpkin.
Written and directed by Jake West, who appears to have done a lot of work making extras for DVDs about things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and Lucio Fulci movies, and also wrote and directed 2005's Evil Aliens, a movie I remember coming out and I don't think I ever saw. I saw that name and I was like, why do I know that name? Like, that name sounds familiar.
Mm.
Writers also include John Werner, uncredited, and Barbara Werner.
Nice.
Most importantly, Lance Henriksen returns after a one movie hiatus as Ed Harley, and we'll see him again in Pumpkinhead 4, Blood Feud.
Get away from me, Ed Harley.
Everyone's favorite Cenobite, Doug Bradley, plays Doc Frazier. and we'll see him again if we ever do the Barn series. He's in, I believe, the Barn 2.
Oh, okay.
And also, that new Hellraiser game looks awesome. Mm-hmm. I really want to play it. That looks like so much fun.
Well, I'm sure are we going to do the Hellraisers for Spooktacular eventually?
We'll probably try to find our way to a Hellraiser in some way. No, that game looked great. I just finished Alan Wake 2 for the first playthrough, mm-hmm. just to learn that you actually have to play through the game 2 times.
Oof.
And so I was like, well, I'm like, that'll probably buy me enough time before the new Hellraiser game comes out. Mm-hmm. Doug Roberts plays an aged up Bunt. Our favorite character
MVP from the first character movie. From number one. Yeah. Everybody remembers good old Bunt.
I saw that name and I went, why does Bunt sound so familiar? And I was like, was that the kid? Was Bunt the kid?
It was the kid who sent him up to the holler, and then later on, he saves him from Pumpkinhead.
Lynn Vernal takes up the role as Haggis in this film and the next.
Haggis. Still cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Still great witch. Could you, like, summon Pumpkinhead for us or something? Y'all don't want it. Don't ask me for it. I'm telling you don't want it.
I think I have like, the quote where it's like, the name of the thing you want is terrible. Pumpkinhead?
No, vengeance. Vengeance, you fucking dumbasses.
Catalina Parashiv plays Ronnie Johnson, and maybe we'll see again as Skeet in Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave. Some fat boy summer. Valescu Valentin is Deputy Ben and is McCoy Boy in Pumpkinhead 4. Which, once again, was filmed simultaneously with this movie. Bart Seidels plays Fred and is Andy in Pumpkinhead 4. Bob Gunter and Mike J. Reagan are our Pumpkinhead in this movie, and they will be Pumpkinhead again in the next movie.
Yes.
Estimated $6 million budget.
Yeah, I could see that.
Filming took place in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Romania. You can't tell.
Well, Jay, you know what? This is a perfect modern series of events to talk about, because this cost $6 million in 2006. You know what cost $3 million to make in 1984?
The original?
No.
Oh.
Terminator.
Okay, yeah.
That's the quality difference in inflation you can see, Jay, between these time periods.
We already talked about personal experience with the movie. Where to watch? Tubi.
Yeah, pretty much. Or you can usually get it, and there's usually collections of all four Pumpkinheads. They've got it on DVD. They got it on Blu-ray.
I bet you could buy like all four together. I bet you could also buy a just Ashes to Ashes and Blood Feud in like a double set.
Yeah, you can. Then they're not that expensive. But.
Oh yeah, that's a $5 bargain bin at Walmart if I've ever seen one. All right, you ready for synopsis, or do you got anything else we're carving this pumpkin?
Let me see if I could carve another notch into this jack-o'-lantern. We talked about, of course, Barbara Werder's involvement, even though nobody seems to know what exactly this person did, and she's not credited anywhere. I thought, interestingly, so Lance Henriksen said he would not come back for Blood Wings because the script was terrible, which it was.
Yep.
It was not a Pumpkinhead movie. But he really liked this one. But he was like, there's just one thing I'm wondering. I'm dead, so how do I come back? I was like, well, of course, you're going to be a force ghost of Ed Harley.
Yeah.
And that's what sold him, apparently.
I mean, I'm gonna say it right here, and I'm sure I'll say it again. What I think made this movie so much more enjoyable than Pumpkinhead Blood Wings, besides Pumpkinhead Blood Wings not having a flying Pumpkinhead,
or being Pumpkinhead related at all,
was not having Ed Harley. I'm like, if Ed Harley had been in Pumpkinhead Blood Wings,
it would have been better.
I think I would have been like, you know what? It wasn't great, but at least it had Ed Harley in it.
Oh, and I was going to talk about the special effects, Jay. I don't know if you noticed, but
the PlayStation 2-ass graphics.
There were some scenes where Pumpkinhead was CGI, Jay. Did you notice?
I sure did. It's like going back and watching like the first Matrix movie now.
Yes.
And being like,
oh my God,
this is Nintendo 64 level graphics.
Yes, and you know, it's crazy because I remember as a kid, and this is with all these movies from this era, it was so cool when it came out. And now you look back on it, and it looks like a bad video game. But for to their credit, they did still use the suit in close-ups and for the kills and things, mm-hmm. so that was good.
No, like that was the thing, was as I was watching it, like, there would be moments where I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure Pumpkinhead's CGI.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would get other there would be other scenes that I'm like, I don't think that's a CGI Pumpkinhead. So I'm like, I like at least that they're not going full CGI. They're just doing it, at, you know, in certain moments.
But they did run into a problem because they built a new suit for this so it would be mobile enough to do the things that they wanted it to do. They kind of, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's a little slimmed down from the Blood Wings version. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to just lighten it up a little bit. But the problem was that made the top half too heavy. So if you notice, Pumpkinhead is never shown unless he's CGI with his legs moving. It's because they had to anchor the legs in place and then put the guy in the suit through the top and then only film him from the waist up when he's doing the kills and
that,
stuff.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. That you say that and... Yeah, that tracks.
Jay's flashing back through his memory palace. Like, I never did see his legs.
Pumpkinhead was always shot from the waist up. He kills that guy through the window. He kills that guy like by just appearing behind him.
But oh, and Jay, of course, also already mentioned, but yes, almost all the supporting cast were Romanians working for scale.
You can't tell.
No, Jay, it's seamless. Seamless.
All right, well, let's dive into our synopsis here. We get like a sad harmonica song playing. I thought that song was kind of great.
I liked it. Yeah.
As the title card and our opening credits roll, and we get, I don't know, ashes, yes. Snow,
I think it's rain. Supposed to be burning ash. Yep. Yeah.
Fall from the sky. Pumpkinhead, ashes to ashes.
Ashes to ashes.
I did like on the, I did like for the title card, like the P and the D were reversed.
Yeah.
So like it like kind of like showed like almost like a 69. And then like they like spread apart and like Pumpkinhead like formed in the middle of those two letters. I thought that looked really neat.
It was really cool. No, opening title sequence song, great.
We see Bunt being chased through the woods by Pumpkinhead.
Oh no.
He trips and falls over as Pumpkinhead corners him against a tree. Pumpkinhead then carves an X into his forehead as he screams. Bunt is woken up by Doc Fraser, like tapping on his forehead, who tells him to stop screaming and move the damn body. It's starting to smell.
Yep.
A guy who I don't think we ever get the name of. People call him the Stranger.
Yeah, I say at one point the main female lead's like the hiker.
is hiking through the woods with his dog, Benzie. His dog runs ahead, and the guy sees Bunt throwing a body into the swamp. He runs and finds himself at the crematorium. When he walks inside, the art on the wall is very, like, reminiscent of Hellraiser.
Yes. Why is that, Jay?
Couldn't tell you. Certainly, we won't see in Doc Fraser's office a box full of lament configurations.
No.
Inside, Doc Fraser is selling bodies for parts.
Of course.
And
look, a pair of fresh kidneys just walked in, Jay.
Yeah, in the swamp, Bunt has a vision of Ed Harley, who warns him to stop what he's doing. And Bunt kind of dismisses the vision.
You mocked yourself, Bunt. Now you gotta pay the price.
That's one of my quotes. every time Ed Harley shows up, yes. I'm like, that quote's... Like I just took the first one, because I'm like, I don't just want to read a long... Ed Harley monologue for all of the quotes. Yes. But
honestly, Ed Harley becoming a force ghost was probably the best move for this franchise.
The Stranger gets chased into the barn by these two goons who we will learn.
Don't let him get away, boys.
Our other Walter Wallace boys. Who are the other, who are like Bunts and his sister Dahlia's cousins.
I guess, yeah.
And he gets chased in, and there's a bunch of decomposing bodies, and he hides under one. And they're kind of, you know, they're not sure what to do, you know, to look for him. And then in walks Bunt with Benzie, and one of the goons asks him where he's been, and Bunt says, in the woods, and he found this dog. And one of the goons just jumps to the conclusion, it must be the Stranger's dog.
Course.
Which it is, but still.
How would he know that?
Yeah. Benzie runs up and gives the guy's location away, and they stab him through like the hay that he's in with a pitchfork, and Bunt yells at them to stop. We next see the goons strapping this guy to an operating table. Doc Fraser chloroforms him and tells Dahlia that They can't let him go. He's seen too much. And besides, you know how much a fresh kidney is worth.
Oh, Pinhead.
Doc Fraser gives a speech about how pain is interesting, and he removes the kidney and tells one of the goons and Bunt to dispose of the body. We will learn this goon, I believe, is Junior.
Yeah.
And then the goon that stays with Doc Fraser is Tiny.
Yep.
Even though Tiny is taller than Junior.
He is.
So it's a great ironic nickname. Doc Fraser and Tiny sell the kidney to a drug dealer with a strangely Eastern European accent.
What are you talking about, Jay?
Named Lenny. You know, Lenny's a family name.
Of course.
While Bunt and the other goon, Junior, put the body in the swamp, the stranger's body in the swamp. The stranger then wakes up and stumbles to the road in front of a truck. And when the driver gets out, he tells her it was the Wallaces. This lady is Molly Sue Allen. And she tells him that, or she gets him in his truck, but she dies as she's driving him to the sheriff's station.
The Wallaces done this to you? We gotta go.
Molly Sue arrives and tells the sheriff, who seems really dismissive of this at first, because, Molly Sue, I mean, she lost that baby. She must be hysterical.
You stupid, crazy bitch. You ranting again.
Until the deputy walks out, finds the stranger's body. He's like, Sheriff, you might want to see this.
It's right behind me, isn't it?
Bunt, Dahlia, and one of the goons, Junior, are arrested. The next day, the bodies are being removed from the barn, and we get this great moment. The sheriff says that he called the FBI and Doc Fraser, and that they'll conduct an autopsy. Doc Fraser will conduct an autopsy because they don't know Doc Fraser is involved in all this.
Yeah.
He's a pillar of the community.
Of course, Jay. He's providing all this free medical care.
Eventually, I missed a moment.
The search party goes out in the woods and finds all the corpses.
The search party does go out in the woods and all the corpses. But there is a moment where the sheriff goes, like says something like, "Well, I mean, no one's found any kids," and then they bring out a kid's body.
Now, is it her like estranged husband, or is it the priest, or who says it? I know it's hilariously timed because he's standing next to her, comforting her, or whatever. Well, at least there's no children here. And carries out the kid's body. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, it was at that moment when I'm like, was this a comedy? Like,
I mean, it is. This is like, I'm not to give anything away, Jay, but this is like a textbook ho ho hilarious.
Eventually, the townsfolk find the swamp filled with all the bodies. In jail, Bunt and Junior taunt Dahlia with the Pumpkinhead rhyme, but she chalks it off as superstition.
Like half the Pumpkinhead rhyme.
Yeah. Stay away from Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
Unless you're tired of living.
And that's basically all I said.
Yeah. And I think it's really wild that she chalks it off as superstition when her whole family knows both Ed Harley, Haggis, and some of them have actually seen Pumpkinhead.
Yes, that's the thing that got me too. It's like, okay, so everybody knows who Haggis is because, she comes to reclaim the body what was hers. Everybody's just like, oh, it's the creepy old woman who lives in the woods.
In Razorback Holler. Sorry, in Razorback Hollow.
Yes, I noticed that as well. It's like, wow, couldn't even get some Southern ADR, could you?
In the swamp, Oliver, Molly Sue's husband, finds the Pumpkinhead mound. And Ed Harley's, like, mummified body inside of it.
Because you remember, Jay. Of course, we're ignoring Pumpkinhead Bloodwings, as you should.
Yep.
Whoever been Pumpkinhead last, or summoned Pumpkinhead last, will become the new Pumpkinhead.
Yep.
When the time comes again.
Oliver brings Ed's body, and Doc Fraser is intrigued, but also confused, because he's like, I've never seen a body mummified like this, but he also doesn't know
the backstory.
Yeah, that like he's like that I didn't put that body there.
Yeah, it's way too old. And he's still wearing the little wicker charm guy that his son made him.
Doc Fraser tells Molly Sue that there are this is where Doc Fraser tells Molly Sue that there are no children amongst all the bodies, and then a guy carries out the body of Molly Sue's child. Haggis shows up and takes Ed's body, saying it belongs to her, and they should have known better. Once again, why does Dahlia think like Pumpkinhead's like fake? Mm-hmm. If like people are like, oh shit, it's the witch. Like, well, the townsfolk should have known better than to disturb Ed Harley's.
I don't know. I'm guessing it's because she's copying what the doctor says until he actually sees Pumpkinhead. But yeah, it's like, obviously the other two believe it.
Yep.
And yeah, obviously the entire town knows that Haggis is real and a witch.
Molly Sue chases after Haggis, and Haggis says she can't bring back the dead. And Molly Sue says, yeah, but people say that you can help those that were wronged.
You don't want it.
Molly Sue gets Richie, Ellie, and Ronnie to go talk to Haggis. They offer Haggis money at first, and Haggis checks that what they want is vengeance. And then Haggis proceeds to cut all their hands and lets the blood fall into like a chalice that she then pours on Ed's mummified corpse that like rejuvenates back into Lance Henriksen and then turns into a pumpkin head before their eyes.
Awesome transformation sequence, by the way.
In jail, Bunt is afraid pumpkin head is coming, and then it just bursts through the door, slitting the deputy's throat. As Bunt yells, do you believe me now?
This is what I love about this, because obviously it's a direct sequel to number one. It doesn't waste any time fucking around with, is he real? Is there a real Pumpkinhead out there? They doesn't try to explain Pumpkinhead all over again or whatever. Nah, Pumpkinhead just gets summoned and starts killing people.
Yeah. Junior tries to run over and get the keys from the deputy, but Pumpkinhead grabs him and snaps his neck while Dahlia and Bunt are able to escape through the prison cell door and then get in a cop car and escape. While that's all going on, the four who went to visit Haggis all have the weird convulsions and the weird visions. And as Molly Sue has her vision, her husband Oliver is worried about her and like is confused about what's going on. Also, it is mentioned briefly at one point, I think they find Ellie's mom's body or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly Sue's like, you should go be with her and comfort her. And then Oliver's like, I never wanted to be with her or something like that. And like, okay. Like, I'm like, that's weird. Never gets brought up for like, I don't know, 50 minutes. Yeah. And then suddenly becomes key to the plot again in like the last 10 minutes.
Obviously, Jay. But yeah, those weird convulsion things, they never explain it, but it's supposed to be like every time Pumpkinhead kills somebody, a little piece of your soul gets like chipped away.
Bunt and Dahlia arrive at Doc's and tell him about Pumpkinhead. Tiny goes to get rid of the cop car that Bunt and Dahlia stole in their escape while they go upstairs to rest. And as Tiny comes back, he then sees Molly Sue and Oliver arrive. So instead of walking through the front door because people are looking for them, he decides to like climb up the lattice work outside the house.
Good call. Good call.
Molly Sue and Oliver ask about the convulsions, but they're given some medicine and basically told, you know, take two of these and call me in the morning.
Yeah.
And so they leave as Pumpkinhead attacks Tiny as he's climbing up the lattice work of the house. He's able to kind of escape briefly and makes it to like the window. They can't open the window. Pumpkinhead then like tosses like his head through the window and then climbs up on top of the house and impales him on a weather vane as the other four have more convulsions.
Looks awesome, by the way.
Bunt, Doc, and Dahlia all escape to kind of go for help and to escape Pumpkinhead. And in the car, Bunt has another vision of Ed Harley and
tries to kill them.
Where Bunt says it wasn't their fault, and then Ed responds, "Tell that to God when you see him." And then Bunt flips the car.
No, it's my favorite line in that. It's like he's like, "You lay down with dogs, Bunt. You gotta come up with fleas."
Yeah. Dahlia gets hurt when the car gets flipped, and they go and hide in the basement of the church that is having a ceremony for all the bodies that got found.
Ah, good. The remembrance ceremony. You'll be there, right, Doc?
Bunt recounts the story of the first movie and continues to have visions of Ed Harley, and we get this another funny moment with Doc asking about Ed Harley and who Ed Harley was, and Bunt says, well, ask him yourself. He's right behind you.
Well, and Bunt also notes that Pumpkinhead is larger than the last time, and that is, of course, because it's four people summoned him this time. Every soul that summons him, he gets more powerful.
And Bunt also mentions that the last time Pumpkinhead was stopped was because Ed was also killed, And that gives Doc an idea that he needs to find the find whoever summoned Pumpkinhead.
Obviously, Jay, as a criminal mastermind, my solution, instead of repenting and being a good person, murder everybody who summoned Pumpkinhead.
He then goes upstairs to the memorial service in the church that Bunt and Dahlia are held up in the basement in.
The preacher is hilarious, by the way. He just starts like yelling at the top of his lungs about Genesis.
Pumpkinhead then attacks the church, which... wasn't there a thing about Pumpkinhead not being able to enter hallowed ground or something? See,
that's what they thought. They were like, let's go in the church and weaken him in the first one. You know, maybe he can't go on to holy ground, and then he walks in and murders him.
I couldn't remember if that was the case or not.
He just totally walks through the church and murders him.
Pumpkinhead traps the parishioners inside by like placing a log in front of the door.
I love that scene.
And then breaks through the stained glass behind the priest, killing him.
Yes.
And like
glorious PS2 CGI.
He's covered in stained glass like chips and bleeding. And then Pumpkinhead like picks him up and throws him into like all the lit prayer candles, which lights the priest on fire. And then like also proceeds to light the church on fire.
Oh, don't forget the priest tries to throw holy water at him too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And then the sheriff decides to start shooting at Pumpkinhead.
Naturally.
So Pumpkinhead crushes his windpipe, and Doc sees some of the other people starting to kind of convulse. But he's not fully sure about what's going on. But it is then confirmed when Ronnie is crushed by a falling beam, and Pumpkinhead falls over too.
Yes.
The Doc is able to escape and gets Bunt and Dahlia out of the church. Everyone else is able to escape as well.
Quick side note, everybody's like, oh, the complaints about this movie, they're like, Pumpkinhead's killing so many people that aren't his target or whatever. I thought he was only supposed to kill the people he was summoned to kill. And it's like, no.
It's explained in the first movie.
Yes, it's like, he'll kill anybody who gets in the way of him killing the people he's supposed to kill as well.
Jeff, it was a bunch of people who only saw Pumpkinhead 2, so they don't know the rules of Pumpkinhead.
Yes, it's crazy, Jay. It's almost like Pumpkinhead 2 wasn't related to Pumpkinhead at all.
Oliver and Molly Sue fight about Pumpkinhead as Molly Sue's eyes begin to like turn the cool bloodshot that Ed Harley's eyes turned. Where like what his eyes turn like a red and blue color.
Yes, it's an awesome effect.
Bunt takes Tiny's body off the weather vane as Oliver arrives and tells Doc that he doesn't know Ellie went to see Haggis, but it was Ronnie Ritchie and Molly Sue. And then Oliver leaves and Doc kind of like steps outside and is like, he's hiding the body with the umbrella.
Yeah.
So Oliver can't see it. And then Oliver leaves. And then Doc closes his umbrella. And then Tiny's body just falls off the roof with like a loud squelch.
Candy corny to the max.
Ellie, at Oliver's behest, agrees to go see Haggis to call off Pumpkinhead. Meanwhile, Doc decides he needs to kill the people who raised Pumpkinhead. And Bunt, following visions of Ed Harley, also goes to find Haggis.
You know, Jay, this just proves once again that the average person has no comprehension at all. Haggis literally says, you can't undo this. You sure you really want to do this? You sure you want to summon the vengeance?
And then they do, and then they do, and then they don't.
And then they're like, can we undo the vengeance? No, you can't.
Oliver and Ellie arrive at Haggis, who informs him it's too late to stop Pumpkinhead. But Oliver's like, I'm going to try righting the wrong myself. And then Haggis basically tells him,
that's not going to work.
That'd be some real powerful magic. It's not going to work.
I'd like to learn that trick myself, boy.
Bunt overhears this, like standing outside, and they leave. And then basically Haggis tells him that like he'll find no pity with her because Pumpkinhead's coming.
That's right.
Doc arrives at Richie's, who is fast asleep. And Doc goes to stick Richie with like a syringe, but Pumpkinhead attacks the trailer.
Oh, shit.
Pumpkinhead bursts through the wall, crawling for Doc. But Doc is able to stick Richie with a syringe, killing Richie and stopping Pumpkinhead long enough for him to escape. Ellie and Oliver arrive to find the cabin destroyed, the syringe, Richie dead, and Doc's hat at the crime scene.
What the hell?
It's almost like Doc's involved with this.
Nah, Jay, couldn't be. He's a pillar of the community.
Doc arrives at Molly Sue's and hides in her closet. And even very, very reminiscent of Halloween, he starts to like undo a coat hanger to stab her with. But Oliver arrives and basically Molly Sue tells him he can go spend time with Ellie, and she runs off to the Sunnyside Motel. Going to the
Sunny Ridge Motel, Jay.
Doc and Dahlia also head to the motel to get some drugs and to see if Doc can kill Molly Sue.
Talking about Lenny's magic meth.
Yeah.
I need some of that.
Bunt arrives back at the crematorium as Oliver and Ellie are trying to get the oven running. Bunt comes clean and apologizes for what happened and agrees to help. And after they get it working, we get a slow motion handshake and like a nod of approval between the two.
I don't know, Jay. I don't know if we should have a bunch of Romanians with access to an oven again.
I just loved the like it's like the fire starts up and then they look at each other and they like give each other a knowing nod and they shake hands in front of the oven.
The hero handshake from Predator, yeah, it's amazing.
It's so great. And it's even in like slow motion.
This is why I love this movie. It's shit like that. The little extra thing.
They then proceed to start cremating the bodies, and Oliver says, ashes to ashes, and they do the thing.
Yes, he said the thing.
At the motel, Dahlia and Lenny, the drug dealer, get high and maybe fuck.
I think it's implied, but yeah, never confirmed.
While Doc goes to kill Molly Sue, but Molly Sue is waiting for him with her own gun.
Damn.
Molly Sue's eyes turn, and Doc says, to put the gun down, you're not going to shoot me, and Molly Sue says, I'm not going to have to, as Pumpkinhead arrives. Pumpkinhead bursts into Lenny's room and kills him as Dahlia laughs the whole time because she's high.
Yeah.
She walks into Molly Sue's room and says Lenny might need a doctor, as Lenny's body is then thrown through the wall in between the two rooms.
To be fair to her, Jay, this is Lenny's magic meth. And I quote, it's the best shit he's ever cooked.
True. Doc shoots Molly Sue. And he thinks he's safe, but Pumpkinhead backhands him through a window and then stabs Dahlia through the heart with its claw.
Nice.
This is, and then, like I said, this is where we kind of get the thing where that weird thing about like Molly Sue mentioning that Oliver had an affair with Ellie.
Yeah.
And then nothing really comes of that for the majority of the movie. But then it turns out that something is coming of that as they kiss, just like,
of course, yes,
as she's starting to turn.
Help, I'm becoming a pumpkin head.
She's like, help, I'm coming, becoming a pumpkin head. And he's like, I'm not gonna let it happen. I'm not gonna let it happen, baby. And they kiss, and then Bunt just like looks on and smiles like a creep.
Yeah, you gotta love Bunt.
Doc arrives at the crematorium, as Bunt is still at work. Ellie is in pain as she starts to like transform more, and we see Pumpkinhead appear behind Doc, who's about to shoot Ellie, but Bunt dives in front of the bullet and takes the shot instead, and then Pumpkinhead kills Doc by shooting its tail through his chest.
Nice.
Pumpkinhead is getting ready to kill Bunt and Oliver, and Ellie decides that, you know, they can't stop. They send the last body into the oven, but it doesn't work, so she climbs in instead.
Finally.
Which then, with the last summoner dead, Pumpkinhead dies and turns into like Ed Harley and then dust. Disappears. Yep.
Ashes to ashes.
Ashes to ashes.
Dust to dust. Pumpkinhead to Pumpkinhead.
A black SUV pulls up outside the crematorium as two of like the weirdest FBI agents walk in.
Oh, those are standard FBI agents now, Jay.
And they're like, we're the FBI. We're looking for the sheriff and the doctor. It's like, you guys had the whole movie to show up, and you showed up at the end.
They saw the pile of Pumpkinhead ash, and they were like, damn, he must have been shot with a 30 caliber round.
Haggis walks in after they have taken Bunt and Oliver for questioning. By the way, Bunt got shot,
yes,
and as far as we know, never got patched up.
As like I slowed it down and tried to rewatch it after you said that, and yeah, it's not clear if he actually got shot or if he just got shot through the coat or whatever, because there's never any blood stain or anything in any shot of him.
But then, like, why do the thing where he dives in front?
Yeah, like, it's like, so weird. I mean, I guess it's a good like character moment for him or whatever. He's doing the right thing, but yeah, there nothing ever comes of it.
And then Haggis walks into the crematorium afterwards, taking Ellie's body and burying it in the pumpkin patch.
Because now she's got
Yep, she's going to turn into Pumpkinhead next. Credits roll, end of movie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Pumpkinhead 3, Ashes to Ashes.
That's right,
Jay. Stay away from Pumpkinhead, etc., so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'll just do it.
All right.
Keep away from Pumpkinhead, unless you're tired of living. His enemies are mostly dead. He's mean and unforgiving. Laugh at him and you're undone, but in some dreadful fashion. Vengeance he considers fun, and plans it with a passion. Time will not erase or blot a plot that he has brewing. It's when you think that he's forgot, he'll conjure your undoing. Bolted doors and windows barred, guard dogs prowling in the yard, won't protect you in your bed. Nothing will from Pumpkinhead.
Hells yeah. Well, Jeff, it sounds like we're in Monster Mash. Favorite quotes. Yeah,
we are.
You was dead, Mr. Harley. I seen you die. That's Bunt. And then Ed goes, you're living on borrowed time, Bunt. Death is forever. What you're doing is going to cause you pain. Sorrowful pain. The kind that just never goes away until the day you die. And on and on. I know. You know I know it. Look at you. The child you were all stripped away. Look at you. Don't bring that vengeance back for a second time. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then Bunt says, you keep out of my head, Ed Harley. Stay out of my brain. Stay where you belong. In hell.
I also have an Ed Harley quote to start off with. Well, it's actually partially a Bunt quote, too.
Yep.
But we didn't do nothing wrong. You lay down with dogs, Bunt. You're going to come up with fleas.
God, Lance Henriksen just made this movie, like, once again, I'm just going to say it. Like, Lance Henriksen being, if Lance Henriksen were in Blood Wings, Blood Wings would have been a better movie. Haggis, what you want has a name, girl. Molly Sue, what's it named? Pumpkinhead? Haggis, no. Vengeance.
Well, what'll it be? Wandering around the woods looking for your brother or a little bit of Lenny's magic crystal meth? Well, Jay, what's it going to be?
you know I can't say no to Lenny's magic crystal meth. My last quote in the jail. Pumpkinhead, it's real! Bunt, Junior, I knew it!
Yeah. My last one is... Why are you doing this, Doc? The whole town loved you. How do you think I paid for all that free health care I was handing out? Obviously, selling body parts.
Yeah, selling body parts.
Oh, and another bonus quote from the doctor. I liked Bunt repeats something the doctor told him where he's like, it was fine. Dead don't feel nothing. Can't feel no pain.
Like I said, it's very...
Yes, he's basically Pinhead.
He's very Pinhead. He has like a line about like pain isn't felt in the brain; it's felt or is it felt in the heart or something. Yeah,
pain. He's cutting the stomach open to get to the kidney, and he's like, "Pain's not here. Pain's up here. It comes from the brain. It's got to be sent to the body."
Yep. All right, Jeff. Halloween decorations, sets, costumes, etc. Things you liked, things you didn't like, just things you want to talk about.
Well, like I mentioned a few of the effects. I thought when Pumpkinhead is not CGI, he looks pretty good.
Yep.
I like the suit. The transformation scene where Lance Henriksen becomes Pumpkinhead, I thought was really well done. Haggis looks amazing, as always. Her witch cottage still looks great.
Yep.
They still nailed that.
They kept that, like, you've got the snake crawling through. You've got the spiders crawling around. Like, you've got all the things where it's like, they clearly watched Pumpkinhead to design this set.
Weird bubbling potions and stuff. You got the weird, I want to know what's in that glowing green jar on the shelf.
Yep. Maybe we'll find out.
Maybe we'll find out in Blood View.
Like I said, I loved the art on the crematorium wall. Looked very reminiscent of Hellraiser.
Yes. I liked the way that Doug Bradley's character is dressed. I thought it was perfect for like a small town doctor that's also secretly a creep, because it's all like black. He's got the black button down vest and everything you would expect from a creepy like mortician or whatever.
It was a combination of Kane from Poltergeist 3, 2? the creepy priest guy.
Yeah.
It was like a cross between him and then also Pinhead, because it's Doug Bradley. Like, that's kind of what it gave me the vibes of.
I like Bunt. I thought his costume was good. He looked like a grown-up version of the kid from the first one, basically. I really liked the effect that they did to show that Ed Harley was a ghost. I thought that was well done, even though it is Force Ghost reminiscent.
I loved that the only one who could see the Ed Harley ghost was Bunt, because Bunt was the one who took Ed Harley to see Haggis the first time.
And the sets, I like the swamp where all the bodies were buried at the beginning. I thought that was set up really cool, the way that the skeletons are like partially in the swamp, partially sticking out.
I thought the sets were all pretty good. I thought like what we saw of the town looked all right.
The Romanian manor house or whatever they used for the doc's house was really cool. I liked it.
Yep. The CGI pumpkin head looked real bad.
PS2
graphics.
It's early. Not only is it early 2000s, it's also a made for TV movie.
So like, they're even, budgets even worse.
Even blockbuster movies from around that time, a lot of the effects look like garbage. And yeah, this had like a tenth of that budget.
Well, Jeff, Halloween Spirit. How Halloweeny is the movie? How Halloweeny are the kills?
Well, I mean, Pumpkinhead's doing them, and his name's Pumpkinhead. So I don't know. I guess that counts for Halloween. Not really a whole lot of Halloween, though.
No, so desperately I want the Pumpkinhead movies to be more
Halloween,
more Halloweeny.
But yeah, they're just. I mean, you've got the fact that Pumpkinhead is a demon slasher monster, and I mean his name is Pumpkinhead. There's a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, there's the pumpkin patch.
I mean, there's literally a witch who conjures him up, and you see the creepy witch hut and stuff. So I'm not going to say it's not Halloween at all, but it's like on the low end.
Yep. It just leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yep.
But Pumpkinhead itself, I'd say an iconic slasher monster, and certainly a cult icon.
At this point, yeah, everybody talks about Pumpkinhead in the conversation with all the monsters.
Would like more Pumpkinhead. Would like more Pumpkinhead. Would like cooler kills, I think. But I think things that were constrained by the budget and everything else.
All right, Jay, hear me out. Brian Cox comes back from the dead. Summons Pumpkinhead to get revenge on Sam. And then Sam, the spirit of Halloween, has to battle Pumpkinhead, the spirit of vengeance.
I'd be nuts.
And it's done as an anthology movie, but no one else within the world is aware of it. And so like every 20 minutes, the world resets and where Pumpkinhead and Sam are going to fight in a new location.
I would love that.
At a new time. Because yeah,
always at Halloween.
They're just always using. Sam is just using his power. Like every time he's about to be killed or whatever, he just flips it to a new Halloween setting.
Oh, that would be great. All right, Jeff. Burnt out jack o' lantern. Brilliant jack o' lantern. Thing you want to fix. Thing you want to praise. Smashed jack o' lantern. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah. Smashed jack o' lantern. For me, it's. I know this is because spoiler alert. Jay and I talked about this beforehand, but. I wish this had been the sequel to Pumpkinhead and not Pumpkinhead Bloodwings in between these two, because Pumpkinhead Bloodwings basically ruined any chance of this being an actual movie studio produced film, which I think would have made it so much better. Because this now that this is and they drop because originally it was going to be called Pumpkinhead 3, but then they were like, well, we don't want this associated with Pumpkinhead 2.
Yep.
So they're like, we're just going to call it Ashes to Ashes instead. And I think it would have been so much better if Pumpkinhead 2 did not exist, because yeah, this being a made for TV movie, like we said, actor budgets very low. They had to use a lot of actors who I don't even think speak English. They had to use horrible CGI. They had to cut Pumpkinhead had to basically, like I said before, be shot from the waist up because they could not build the same kind of high quality suit that they built for the second one, which is a huge shame, because if the suit from the second one had been available for this movie, that would have been way cooler. And just in general, I think it could have just benefited, because a lot of this movie is people standing inside buildings, you know, they can't do any outdoor shots really, except for the beginning when they do the swamp shots. That's like their one big outdoor set piece. I think a higher budget and having this not have come after Pumpkinhead 2 would have been great.
Jeff, the Sci-Fi Channel budget of it all, which is the fault of Pumpkinhead 2 poisoning the well for the franchise.
Yes.
You've got actors who don't know how to pronounce Holler. You've got actors with weird accents, actors with like weird 80-yard lines, actors who have pretty good accents and then will occasionally just mispronounce one word.
Slip into, the original word.
At one point, there was a sign for Coca-Cola Light, which is what they called Diet Coke in parts of Europe.
Yes.
The script felt wayward, and there were things that were like picked up and dropped like randomly. Like the whole love story between Oliver and Ellie. Like, I was like, okay, is this going to be a thing? Is this not going to be a thing? Because it seems like Oliver wants to be with Molly Sue.
Turns out it's both.
And then it is, but I was like, okay, but he said it wasn't, and I thought we were going to get, like, more of a resolution for Molly, Sue, and Oliver, but then we don't get that, and instead we go back to Oliver and Ellie. It just... fuck you, Pumpkinhead 2.
Yes, because Pumpkinhead 2 ruined this movie directly, and, you know, like, it's cool that they're in the swamp and stuff at the beginning, but it's like the Eastern European forest and swamp looks nothing like the Appalachian forest swamps that were in the first one.
Yep.
It's like you could definitely tell that this is not a holler, you know, in Eastern Kentucky or whatever. This is a forest in Romania. Because, we just had to slap Pumpkinhead into a movie that we made up about a kid who gets shoved down a coal mine shaft or whatever.
Yep. Whatever the fuck happened in that goddamn movie. All right, Jeff, brilliant Jack Lantern. Thing you want to praise.
You know, I swung back and forth on my brilliant Jack Lantern a lot, Jay, because there's a lot of things to praise in this movie. But I think I'm going to have to agree with you that bringing back Lance Henriksen to the franchise, I think, was a great choice. Having him providing like a running commentary to the whole thing and being there to like kind of taunt the people who've made the same mistake that he did in the past. And even at the beginning, he explicitly warns Bunt, do not do this. We cannot have this happen again. It's going to be terrible for you. And just having him, especially the part where he's like, I love that only a certain character can see him too, because then we got the scene where he's just randomly grabbing the car wheel, trying to run him off the road.
Or the, ask him, he's right behind you.
Yes. But no, I think having him come back and including him in this really elevated it. And I agree with Jay, even though Pumpkinhead Bloodwing sucks and is not a Pumpkinhead movie, if he had been in that as a Force Ghost, it would have been better.
I'm right with it. It's the same thing. It's what I've said. Lance Henriksen being back. What a delight. I forgot how much I missed him because the second movie was so fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you just said, I echo 100%. It's having Lance Henriksen in this. God, I forgot how good he is. Yes. I forgot how good an actor he is.
It's like, he totally made the first one. And I mean, honestly, he was right to deny doing the second one, because of course they approached him after the success of the first one. But he's like, no, this is literally not a story about Pumpkinhead. Why would I do this?
Him and Doug Bradley carry all of these like anonymous actors. Like, it's really impressive.
I do. A shout out to Doug Bradley too. Yeah, he does a good job with a role that could have just been a throwaway nothing.
Yep. But they went, shit, it's essentially Pumpkinhead versus Pinhead. Let's see what happens.
Oh, if only Pinhead had had the lament configuration, Jay.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for him to turn out to have some kind of weird powers.
That would be amazing. Turns out he's a warlock.
All right, Jeff, final rating. Every episode of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Let's see if I can remember them. Candy corny, seasonally spooky, 6 feet under.
That's right. You got him,
Jeff. All right, Jeff.
I mean, I've already given it away. It's candy corny. I mean, this movie's got so many great moments in it, but it also has so many ridiculous, funny moments in it that you're going to laugh. I mean, I almost can guarantee you're going to laugh at some point watching this movie. Like, Jay talked about it earlier. One of the funniest things is the doctor hiding the body
with the umbrella.
The umbrella open, of course. And then, when he closes it and it just slides down with like a onto the floor. And I mean, there's all the moments like we talked about in the jail where Pumpkinhead busts through the door. And Pumpkinhead's real. I knew it. All that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just there's something in basically every scene that'll make you chuckle, even if it's just like I legitimately had to pause and laugh for a couple minutes when the CGI Pumpkinhead busts through the stained glass window at the church. And yes, I was like, damn, I'm back to playing God of War on PS2.
Right. I was really torn because I'm like, the first 45 minutes of this movie is like a 6 feet under. Yeah. Like, I was like, it took me a while to like get into it. And like, I kept stopping the movie and getting distracted by other things. I was just like, I don't. And I'm just like, this isn't good. And then the second like 45 minutes kicks in, the pumpkin heading starts.
Yes.
And from there it was smooth sailing. Like, I almost want to like shallow grave. This is somewhere.
No, it's definitely,
this is half a 6 feet under.
It's a borderline movie, but I think there's enough funny shit in it and enough good stuff in it. Like Lance Henriksen's performance, Doug Bradley, Haggis, just the Pumpkinhead kills themselves are really good. I think there's enough to carry it over into candy corny for me.
No, I think there are some big things to like dislike and some big things to flag, but I do think there's a lot to enjoy. Bunt and Ed were maybe the highlights of the whole movie. Doug Bradley, Lance Henriksen, and Haggis kind of carrying their large chunks. All fantastic. Like I said, once the pumpkin heading gets started, the movie is so much fun. But yeah, those first 45 minutes are kind of rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think yeah, kind of candy corny. But very borderline on there.
Yeah, it was kind of, I felt the same way about this that I felt about Christmas Bloody Christmas. How like the first 45 minutes are the dialogue back and forth banter, but then once Terminator Santa shows up, it kicks into high gear and it's pretty fun.
What's the I almost felt, I was kind of like thinking about it, I was like, in a weird way, like, this is almost like the opposite of Hollowgate.
Yeah,
a movie that like you and I, like, you know, you and I admit that we loved, but like maybe don't recommend this to other people.
No, if you're not a sicko like us, I don't think you'll get much out of Hollowgate.
but this might be a movie that like maybe if you're not a sicko, maybe sit down and watch this one.
No, like, I think if you're a regular horror enjoying person, I think you could throw this on and have a good time with it.
If you like kind of B movie, like low budget horror, I mean, but not like sci-fi level B movie, not Hollowgate level B movie.
You got to approach it from the fact that yes, it's from the early 2000s and it's a made for TV movie.
But yeah, like with those qualifiers, it's a pretty solid movie.
Yeah. I'll say that I was not bored to death or whatever through most of the movie. Because, yeah, even in the beginning parts, that still has those bright comedy spots, like when Jay was talking about, at least there's no children here.
He carries a child out
right as he says that.
I couldn't fucking believe they did that. I literally paused the movie. I was like, come on, movie.
I couldn't believe it. Literally, the follow-up to that scene where Haggis just tramps out of the woods with her like handmade sled thing, throws Ed Harley's body onto it and drags it off.
And no one stops. Sheriff is right there. No one stops her.
Literally, no one even questions her taking the body. She just walked up. She's like, yeah, this is mine.
And then Dahlia's like, no, but Pumpkinhead's not real. Even though literally the entire town went, well, I'm not going to fuck with Haggis. Well,
exactly. It's like, no, you're definitely not fucking with Haggis.
Jeff, oh. I bit into that Kit Kat and somebody put a razor blade in there.
Man, that's weird.
Got
the price of razor blades these days.
We got a razor blade in our candy.
You can't even get those normally. You have to go ask an associate to get them, Jay.
I've only got one. Strangely, like, people were, I felt people were pretty fair about this movie overall. And even this review was a 4 out of 10, which I thought was nuts, but the title was what made me go, well, this is the review. This is the review that I picked, because I was reading every review and I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree with everything you're saying here. Like, I maybe like even reviews that were worse than a 4 out of 10. I went like, I kind of agree with what you're saying. Like, I don't think that's a 3 or 2 like out of 10 review. Yeah. Like, I think this is a good solid middle of the road movie. But anyway,
I'd say, yeah, this is a solid 6.
4 out of 10. Not as good as the last one. And that's where I went, this is my review.
Hold on, Jay.
I am not hampered by the memory of the original Pumpkinhead.
Well, you should be.
So I have only Pumpkinhead 2 as comparison. It excels tremendously over this one.
It does? Okay, explain yourself,
Pumpkinhead, sir. Pumpkinhead 2, Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes sucks if you've only ever seen Pumpkinhead 2. That's what this person's saying.
Jay, Pumpkin, I never thought I would live to see the day where Pumpkinhead 2 and Excels would be in the same sentence, but okay, continue.
The doctor, Doug Bradley, and his family, not his family,
no,
are selling body parts and have a barn full of uncremated bodies. It reminds me of the 339 bodies found at Tri-State Crematory in New York. When the town finds out and sees that the law will probably not do anything, they go looking for local Marie Laveau, haggis, yeah, a witch who lives in the wood and can bring back Pumpkinhead. There are serious consequences to doing that, but they have a taste for blood. They must be from Texas because they like killing people so much. Actually, it was filmed in Romania.
Oh, yeah, Jay. Famously, Texas is the only place on Earth where people like killing other people.
Yeah. There just wasn't as good a story as Pumpkinhead 2.
Oh, my God.
But the killing were a lot gorier.
Oh, my God. Not really. I mean, there's some badass kills in Pumpkinhead 2. I'll give it that.
One person I will agree with. There was less eye candy, too. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Linnea Quigley isn't in this movie.
That's very true. I will give that. But yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't say these kills are much gorier than Pumpkinhead 2.
I literally read that. And I went, what are you? What is this person?
What is this guy's name, Jay? Hold on. Let me write this down real quick.
I don't know if I copied the person's name.
Let me see if I can find Haggis's number. I think I know what I want to use my vengeance wish on.
On this one person. They said Pumpkinhead 2 was... Yeah, I didn't save the person's
Pumpkinhead
name.
2 was good.
Also, Jeff, 5 people found that helpful.
Oh, Jesus. There's more of them?
At least 5 people went, yeah, I loved Pumpkinhead 2. What are you talking about?
The diehard fans' betrayal, Jay. 1 star, 0 stars, though I would give negative numbers if I could. So we got an evolution on the 0 stars if I could, Jay. I grew up worshiping the original Pumpkinhead. Stan Winston's creature was poetry in latex, a nightmare that moved with sorrow and vengeance. Well, Pumpkinhead in the original can barely move at all, right? So I don't think that's true, but okay, continue. What Ashes to Ashes delivers instead looks like a fan film shot in a Romanian barn with someone's cousin sweating inside a rubber suit that's 2 sizes too big. Disagree. I thought the Pumpkinhead suit was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I did not look like it was shot in a Romanian barn. I mean, some of the sets were pretty nice.
Yeah. There is a scene in a barn. That scene looks like it's shot in a barn.
Yeah, that was shot in a Romanian barn. Yeah. Lance Henriksen deserves better than being digitally smeared into ghost cameos like a bad screensaver.
I'm pretty sure it's just Lance Henriksen.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they just put like a halo effect around him because he seemed like he was just there. But I mean, it didn't look like a bad effect.
No,
like
it didn't. No.
Unless you're going to say that the Force ghosts also look bad because it was basically the same effect. And does Lance Henriksen really not deserve to be digitally smeared into a movie? I'm pretty sure he'd take any work he can get at this point.
I'm pretty sure he took. I'm pretty sure he publicly said he took these movies to pay alimony.
Doug Bradley spends the entire movie trying to act like he's Hellraiser 9 Appalachian Vacation, and everyone else just screams at shadows. And again, it's like, yes, that would be cool. Have the lament configuration like drop into a town in Kentucky or whatever. This wasn't a return to form. Well, you're right. It kind of wasn't, because if you were trying to return to the form of Pumpkinhead 2, you're insane.
Yep.
It was an exhumation, digging up the corpse of Pumpkinhead, selling its organs on eBay, and dumping what's left in the same swamp the plot came from.
I mean, you're supposed to dig up Pumpkinhead. That's part of the ritual.
Well, I mean, the plot is essentially the same thing as all Pumpkinhead movies.
Yes.
Pumpkinhead gets summoned to get revenge on somebody.
It's Pumpkinhead with more people, but also the villain knows how to stop a Pumpkinhead.
It's kind of like complaining about all the Friday the 13th or Halloween movies being the same thing. It's like, yes, that's the whole slasher thing. It's always the same thing. But yeah, so that was an amazing review, Jay.
You got any others? I'm out.
Oh, yeah. This is from a film student on Reddit, Jay. 0 out of 5. A masterclass on how to misunderstand tone. Pumpkinhead, Ashes to Ashes is what happens when you try to film Southern Gothic revenge horror in the Carpathian Mountains with actors who can't decide if they're from Kentucky or Kent. The color grading looks like someone applied a dusty sepia Instagram filter and called it cinematography. The CGI would embarrass a PlayStation 2 cutscene.
Hey.
I wouldn't say it would embarrass it.
Would not embarrass. Looked like a PS2 cutscene.
The creature is alternately terrifying and then suddenly not there because they couldn't afford to keep it in the frame. Again, because of Pumpkinhead 2, this had to be a TV movie.
Yep.
If you study horror cinema, Jay.
I don't.
This is worth watching once. Not for inspiration, but as a cautionary tale.
That's what I think.
Every choice here teaches you what not to do. Again, hyperbolic bullshit. You have a couple of good points in here about, yes, they couldn't use the creature because of the budget, and yes, it would have been better if they could have shot it in America in the location of the original Pumpkinhead, but guess what? You can't do that with a made-for-TV movie budget.
Exactly.
So basically, you're criticizing the fact that it wasn't able to get a studio contract. And I don't see, you're praising some stuff in here too. Like you're saying that sometimes he was terrifying. So how would this be a 0-star review?
Yep.
But once again, Jay, no one understands anything. I got another, this time 1 out of 5. Oh, we're being generous now. I turned on the Sci-Fi Channel looking for background noise while folding laundry. Next thing I know, there's a big mud demon eating people because of, I think, organ theft? Half the movie is people arguing in the dark about who stole whose cousin's spleen. I didn't understand a single character's motivation. I swear half of them changed accents mid-sentence.
Yeah, all this trash. I don't understand how they gave this one star.
I kept waiting for Pumpkinhead to show up and fix things, but he pops up like a guest star who lost his way on his way to another movie. The scariest part, realizing there was still 45 minutes left. And I'm like, if you made it through the first half, then the second half is the best part.
Yeah, the second half's the best part of the movie. It's like that person who wrote the review of Hollowgate and said they stopped after, what, the dog kill? The lawnmower kill?
Yeah.
And it's like, you missed some of the best stuff!
Exactly. All right, now, Jay, this one personally offended me. Look, I've seen every bad horror sequel. Leprechaun in the Hood? Masterpiece compared to this. First of all, you keep Leprechaun's name out of your goddamn mouth if you're talking to me. Leprechaun in the Hood and Back to the Hood are both masterpieces, by the way. People shit on the Leprechaun movies, and most of these assholes haven't ever even seen them, Jay. Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to Leprechaun. But anyway, at least that little green dude had ambition. He's not even green, first of all. No, this one's got Doug Bradley trying to act serious. I mean, he pretty much always acts serious. Pinhead's not a goofy character.
Yeah.
While a guy in a rubber alien suit slips in Romanian mud. They got Lance Henriksen back, great, except he's a ghost on a TV screen, probably filmed in his kitchen. Again, I don't think so. This is an early 2000s TV movie. I don't think they had the budget to CGI him into scenes touching people and things like that. Pretty sure he was just on the set.
Yeah, this isn't whatever Star Wars did with the Grand revolving Tarkin,
green scheme. Yeah, it's in the fucking Resurrection of the Dead CGI technology. I kept shouting, "Where's my damn pumpkin head?" And my dog left the room, proof that it's bad.
Yep. My dog didn't like it.
Yep. No, he lost interest when the other dog wasn't on screen anymore, Jay.
Yeah,
you gotta have a dog through your entire movie.
If you want the dog reviews, you gotta have a dog in your movie. Yeah.
But yeah, that was the last one I had. So aside from Leprechaun slander, again,
son of a bitch,
Lance Henriksen was on set. I don't know what the fuck you people are smoking. Can you not tell? It's like he literally touches the head of people. He like reaches out and grabs Bunt's shoulder. It's like obviously he was there.
I don't get, like, yeah, I don't understand the, like oh, they just smeared Lance Henriksen into the movie. No, he's there. Clearly he's there. He's
literally there. You could tell he's there. There's no CGI-ness to the way he moves or anything else. And yeah, it's not like he was too busy to fly out to the set for fucking 3 days or whatever it took him to film his scenes.
Like, he agreed to be in it. Like, I don't get it.
You can definitely tell he's actually there too, in the table scene where he gets the blood poured on him and he comes back to, he becomes himself before he becomes Pumpkinhead. And you can tell that's literally just him laying on the table.
Yep. So weird. What a weird complaint.
But yeah. So, you know, as usual, online reviews, dog shit.
That's the thing. If we're wrong, then I would argue that it makes these graphics even more impressive.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that was actually him there in CGI, then that's amazing CGI for 2006.
Yep. Which is just wild.
I was going to say, they couldn't even make it look that good in Rogue One, which had a $200 million budget and was made a decade later.
All right, Jeff, well... trick or treat list. Where are we putting Pumpkinhead? Are we moving it up, moving it down, or kind of? I think we had it kind of just like just. I think we had Pumpkinhead like just behind Sam was kind of our.
Yeah, I mean, I'd leave him in the same place pretty much. He hasn't weakened any. I mean, he's pretty much got the same powers that he has always had.
Yeah, like the big idea I think for moving people up and down is Michael.
Yeah.
As he develops thorn based runic powers.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah. Right now, Michael Myers is below Pumpkinhead in his regular form, but yeah, once we've watched the one where he gains his thorn rune powers, he'll be on par with Pumpkinhead.
Yep.
They're both invincible.
So then we'll have a real discussion to have. Yeah. But yeah, for right now, yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, Pumpkinhead kind of stays where it was. All right, Jeff. Well, it's time for this.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Well, Jeff, we have had some correspondence. Spencer's been in touch to tell us that you are allowed to pump your own gas. It can be full service. It can also be you do it yourself.
Oh, okay.
And... Robert's been in touch, our listener Robert. You met him when we did the escape room to tell us that his favorite Brad Dourif role is in Criminal Minds.
Oh yes, I've heard of that.
When hold on, I got the exact episode number and whatnot. Criminal Minds season 8 episode 10 is a great Brad Dourif performance.
Yes.
So listeners, keep sending in your favorite Brad Dourif performances. Yes.
Well, when I showed my wife Lord of the Rings for the first time, when she saw Wormtongue, she's like, "Is that the guy from Criminal Minds?" I'm like, "I don't know. Is he?" And yes, he is. Actually,
apparently he is.
It's from a fairly memorable episode. I mean, obviously it would have to be if he's in it.
Robert also sent the I'm gonna feed him to the jaguar scene.
As my God.
So if listeners, if you don't want to watch all of Hollowgate, but you do want to see that scene, it is apparently on YouTube.
As it should be.
And Jeff, we also have this.
Oh no. He's reaching for snacks. He's got so damn many.
We've got Cheetos Flamin' Hot Fiery Skulls.
Oh boy.
It's got Thing on him.
Ooh.
You know, from Netflix's Wednesday.
Oh yeah, that's where he's from, right?
Yep. Yeah, certainly nothing else.
Yeah, good.
My only knowledge of the Addams Family comes from Netflix's Wednesday.
Ooh. They look skullish, Jay.
We've got EL Fudge Spooky Fudge Stripes.
Oh boy. Ooh, they do look spooky. I see some spooky, scary skeletons.
We've got Oreo spooky colored cream, same great taste. They've got like vampire faces on them, and they're like, they are orange and green.
Basically, what Jay is saying is he wants us to eat some vampires' green goo.
Yep. Green stuff.
The stuff. Everybody knows you have to eat a minimum of 3 EL Fudge Stripe cookies to get the flavor.
And.
Oh boy, he's reaching for the cooler. Oh, he just threw the Fudge Stripe cookies everywhere. Oh god, he's bringing it out. He's got something. Oh no, there's more than one something in there.
We've got Hi-Chew, I don't know, mystery flavor, but there's also, I saw the candy apple, and I went, that's kind of Halloween-y.
I love a good Hi-Chew.
We've got Sour Punch Kids Monster Heads.
Oh boy.
They're mismatched flavors.
How many heads does this monster have, Jay?
I think 3. We've got some Kool-Aid Goulade popping candy Zomberry flavor.
Oh my god. It's like he's trying to make sure he had more snacks than last time.
I was, in fact.
Damn you, Jay, and your constant need to pumpkinhead me.
And wash it all down. Some Kool-Aid Goulade Zomberry.
Oh, well, can't say no to that.
All right, close the Joe Bob cooler.
Man, oh, okay, I think I got all three. These are confusing candies, Jay. I don't like them.
I think we've got a missing eel fudge cookie somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Roll. There it is. As I say, I saw it roll.
I'll eat this one. Why? I'll eat the floor cookie.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. It has dog hair on it. I'm not going to eat it.
Oh. All right. Well, what are we doing first?
Hold on. I got to grab a couple things.
Well, obviously, I want to open my Goulade first. Everybody knows that Kool-Aid tastes way fucking better when it's Goulade.
So there's also a mystery flavor, but I figured we'd just do the candy apple and the mystery flavor.
Okay.
And that's watermelon. That's blue raspberry. There we go. Candy apple.
So I got a mystery, but not a candy apple.
That's watermelon again.
Looking at a watermelon.
That's watermelon again.
Yeah. There's one candy apple in the entire bag.
That'd be hilarious. Nope, I found one.
Okay, good.
All right, let me get Sour Patch Kids. Got orange and purple, green and orange.
You got green and purple?
I got green and purple. Is that all of them?
I think so.
All right. And I'll grab some Flamin' Hot Skulls.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different items to try this time.
Yep.
All right, well, where do you want to start, Jay?
Let's start with the Flamin' Hot Skulls.
All right, let's do it.
I do like the skull shape.
Yeah.
I think that transports, like, flavor really well.
I agree. All right, want to do a couple fudge stripes?
Yeah, let's do some fudge stripes.
Did it say what flavor they're supposed to be?
Spooky.
Mmm.
They're chocolate EL fudge cookies with orange stripes.
Well, they're good. Hmm.
I'm looking to see. I don't see anything else that. Yeah, spooky, I think, is the flavor.
Yep. Tastes spooky. All right. What do you want to do next?
Why not? Let's do the Oreo. Let's back up.
Let's do cookie to cookie. Head to head battle.
I haven't done cookie to cookie since my old college days.
Oh, boy.
All right. So on one side, I got a cauldron with green. Oh, no, that's my special side, is the cauldron. It's got the green.
I got a jack-o'-lantern.
Ooh. All right,
here we go.
I assume it's just going to be an Oreo.
It's an Oreo. A little bit better than average, though, because I think they're fresh.
You know what? I'm going to say it, and it doesn't make any sense. Better. I think that tastes better than, one, a regular Oreo, but, two, an orange Halloween Oreo. Green and orange Halloween Oreos are better than just plain orange Halloween Oreos.
No, I agree. It's like I tried to explain to my wife. No, you don't understand. Goulade is delicious. Regular Kool-Aid, dog shit.
Speaking of Goulade, let's do some Goulade. Now let's save the popping candy for the end. We'll do Goulade and we'll do popping candy, and then maybe we'll mix them together.
All right. Well, I guess we should do a high chew then.
Yeah, let's do, which one, mystery?
Yeah, let's start with candy apple.
All right.
We'll save the mystery. Preserve the mystery, Jay. All right. Good apple smell to it.
I like that a lot.
It's really good. Yeah, it reminds me of the taste you get when you drink like a fresh apple cider. Actually, pretty impressive.
Haichu dessert mix. Mm. Candy apple. All right, and then let's try mystery flavor.
Oh, boy.
It's got a little, like, anthropomorphic haichu on the label.
Horrific looking. Fitting for Halloween.
He's like, feast on my flesh! It's all white.
To preserve the mystery, of course.
Initially, I feel like sherbet. Maybe fruit punch. I think rainbow sherbet or fruit punch are kind of the two big thoughts I'm having.
It's giving me. Honestly, the closest thing I can think of is it tastes.
I'm gonna try another one.
It tastes like when you chew up your Skittles. Honestly, that's the closest thing I can compare it to, like a Skittles flavor.
Well, hasn't the theory always been that like the mystery airhead is just whatever is left in the tube at the end or whatever? Like maybe it's the same idea. Yeah, I think I would say like rainbow sherbet is my. But I agree with you. It's like a mixed fruit flavor.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. No, I like it.
All right, let's do some Sour Patch Kids Monster Heads. The Sour Patch Kids are supposed to kind of look like Frankensteins.
Let's find out.
With like two different parts put together.
Yeah. They do kind of look like Frankenstein. I will give them that.
All right. Bite our heads off. I mean, so the green's supposed to be watermelon, and everyone knows Sour Patch Kids has a solid watermelon flavor. Mm. Really good. And the orange is supposed to be orange.
No, I mean, you definitely get what you asked for. It's two Sour Patch Kids stitched together.
Yep. All right, I'm gonna do orange and raspberry or whatever.
I mean, they're Sour Patch Kids. They're good.
No, these are all delicious. Yeah. All right, I'll do my last one. Raspberry and watermelon.
I mean, you can't be mad at it.
I'm going to say I think the best one of the three was the orange raspberry. Because you kind of got initially get that overpowering orange taste, and then you kind of get the raspberry taste on the back end.
I agree.
All right, now let's Goulaid this up.
Uh-oh. Choking warning, Jay. 5+. Really? You got to be 5+ for Pop Rocks?
Oh. Supposedly this glows in the dark. Hold on. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Packaging does glow in the dark, like it says.
Indeed. Now we'll do the rest of the episode in the dark. Or for the holidays after dark.
Today we're talking about Emmanuel in space. Ooh, I like that zomberry. I'm sure it's the same ghoul. Like, I'm sure it's the same Goulaid every year. They just give it a different name.
Nah, Jay, it's unique every year.
But I do like that zomberry.
I don't give a fuck. If it comes in a Goulaid container, I'll drink it. I don't care what flavor
it is. I wasn't able to find it. I was planning on tripling up on Goulaid because apparently there's also Goulaid like gummy candy.
Yeah.
And I was not able to find that. So that was, I was like, I'm going to triple up on Goulaid, but I at least got 2 out of 3.
I'll keep an eye out. If I run across it, I'll pick it up. But you know I'm going to like the Goulaid. There's not even any question.
All right. I'm going to put some of this on the tongue.
You're popping. Let's pop. What have you done? What have you done over there?
They did do a good job of getting the Goulaid flavor into the Pop Rock.
I agree.
Now I'm going to dump the rest of this bag in my mouth, and then I'm going to drink the Goulaid, and we're going to make amazing audio. Amazing audio.
Uh-huh. This is what the listeners come for, Jay. No one else is doing this.
This is the most important thing we've ever done.
That's good, though. I like that combination. It works.
Horror for the Holidays, famous for drinking Kool-Aid and eating Kool-Aid Pop Rocks at the same time on air.
Did you not? I didn't know if you knew that or not, Jay, but I'm actually the guy who does that Coke commercial that's in all the movie theaters.
Oh, yeah. Also, Jeff was famous for that. Died in a freak trying to run a Twinkies truck off the road accident. Reportedly, they yelled, "Screw you, dude, Dad!" More at 11.
Yes. News at 11.
All right.
Yeah, no, let's rate these things.
That's the thing. The things that are just the things.
I mean, yeah. The fudge stripe cookie is just a fudge stripe cookie.
Yep. They're delicious. The Oreo's delicious. The skull Cheeto, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, delicious. Good. But they're all kind of...
all regular.
Yep.
Let's see. So what that leaves us with the two Kool-Aid products, the Mystery Hi Chew. I mean, the Sour Patches are just Sour Patches.
Yep. But at least they're mixed up flavors, yeah. So like that's a little better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd probably put Sour Patch Kids the next, like at the bottom.
Yeah, so I put Sour Patch Kids as the top of the regular stuff.
Yep.
And then I'd say probably the Mystery Hi Chew.
Yeah.
Then the Apple Hi Chew. Then the two Kool-Aid products.
Then the two Kool-Aid products. I agree. Yeah. I think that's solid. But yeah, like even the normal stuff, not bad.
Still good.
All pretty tasty.
And it's got the cool Halloween themed packaging.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us about how Pumpkinhead 2 is actually the greatest Pumpkinhead movie.
Don't do that.
continue sending in your favorite Brad Dorf performances.
Yes.
Horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com or social media. We're all the places at Horror4Holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Check us out. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. Also, leave us any kind of reviews you want to on all the podcatchers. Of course, we'll know you're a real sicko who actually listens to the show if you start your review off with 1 star, 0 stars, if I could. But of course, make it a 5-star review, or we're not going to bother reading it.
Yep. I don't know. What's the other thing?
Christmas Podcast Network.
Yeah, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network very soon for a totally rad Christmas Halloween special. We're going to be talking about a little mystical boinging.
Oh, yeah. We're boinging all over the place, yep. Jay.
It's going to be it's a great episode. Better than this podcast in every single way.
I can't believe we had to teach Jerry D how to boing.
Yep. That's the thing. It's a Midwest thing. And then most importantly, the spooktacular continues.
Indeed. We got some good ones coming up for you.
As we will, next week, we will be talking about Terrifier 2.
Mm-hmm.
2 Terra 2 Fire. Terrifier 2 Electric Boogaloo. Terrifier 2 Art the Chart. I don't know.
Cut.
Barifier the Terrifier. There we go. We got it. All right.
We got it.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Art better be careful, Jay, or I'm going to feed him to the jaguars.
Honk, honk. Bye.
Bye.
In the crib, late at night. Monster grooming, what a fright. The goblins ask, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with ghouls in the blow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash.